Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Monday, May 17th of 2021. And I am your host tonight, the Miracle Man, coming to you live from here in Midland, Michigan, where I'm from. And, of course, it's good to be with you. And it's going to be a good show tonight. I have a lot of things to get to tonight. Of course, first of all, I want to thank all of you for tuning in, wherever you may be listening, however you heard about this program, wherever you're listening from. We're just so glad that you have tuned in tonight. We're just glad that you've made that determination to tune in to the broadcast. And I want you to tell others how they can be a part of it. You can tell them that they can go to blogtalkradio.com. Again, that website is blogtalkradio.com. In the search bar, when you get on the website, you'll see a search bar. In the search bar, you will type in Upfront Entertainment. Click on that link. You'll see one that says Living Large. Click on that one, and then you'll find us, the Miracle Man Show. And we're just so glad that you have tuned in over these years. And we're glad to be with you tonight, as I said before. And a couple of things about the Miracle Man, about what we believe and why we're called the Miracle Man. This show is called the Miracle Man because my life has been a story of many miracles. To be honest with you, listeners, I need to be very honest with you when I tell you this. At one point I was told that I would not live past 12 years old. Another time, when I was younger than that, even, when I was like 2 or 3, they told my mom that they could give me a shot that would have put me to sleep and I wouldn't be suffering anymore. I'm so glad that my mom did not let them give me that shot. My mom did, however, make a prayer, heal him or take him home, referring to me. And, well, God hasn't taken me home yet, so obviously there's a reason why God has kept me here. And that's just one example of why this program is called The Miracle Man, because we serve a God of miracles. He does miracles. He is the miracle worker. Now, a couple of things we believe, a couple of doctrine things. One, Jesus is the only to heaven. You have to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior in order to make heaven. And it can't be, oh, I did this many good works so I can go to heaven. Oh, you didn't do enough good works, you can't go to heaven. One of these other fables that people come up with about how you could make heaven. No. Jesus is the only true way to heaven. The only way to heaven. You have to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior in order to make heaven. We believe, of course, in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We believe that we believe I was trying to think of a couple of other ones. Another thing we believe is that a saying of ours, I borrowed it from my local church, but it rings very true. We're real people. We have real problems. But you know what? We serve a real God. And I firmly and strongly believe that. It's not just some little thing I say. We're real people. Yes, we have real problems. But we do serve a real God, and I'm so grateful for that. Amen. Now, I do want to say, I do want to give a shout out to all of these different states who are dropping the masks. Now, they say the only way you don't have to wear a mask is if you've taken the vaccine. Well, to that I say, no, I'm not going to give an opinion. But let me be honest with you. Technically, like these stores and what have you, they cannot ask legally whether or not you've been vaccinated if you don't wear a mask. They may think you're vaccinated, even if you're not. You feel comfortable going in there and not wearing the mask? Go ahead. Go in there without it. Stand up. Take that mask off. I was down there in Ohio a couple days ago, in that state to the south, and I didn't wear that muzzle. Everywhere we went into without it. They never asked us where the masks, where the muzzles were. And I'm glad they didn't. One restaurant gave them to us, but, yeah. Some states are even removing other restrictions as things are opening up more and more, and it's been way too long. Oh, in Texas, 2 months ago, Texas got rid of their mask rules. did away with all business restrictions, completely did away with them, and just yesterday, for the first time in 14 months, Texas did not report any deaths from the virus. And as of, and they were, in early March, Texas was reporting a few thousand cases a day, less than their peak, though. As of late March, their case numbers were down to less than half of what they had been when he announced that they got rid of the restrictions. And they're even lower now. So this idea that masks work. Told you what would happen in one state in the South, Texas. Let me ask you, Shelly, do masks work? No, they don't. Now, but I'm in a medical profession, you have to wear them a very specific way. There are medical folks who wear masks on a daily basis who have worn them. And medical masks do have a purpose for those medical professionals. For everyone else, though, these masks were basically just a compliance device. And even our governor here in my state, if you're vaccinated now, you don't have to wear a mask. I have a vaccine. Jesus. He's the healer. He's the deliverer. I was chatting with someone on Facebook the other day, on Messenger the other day, and I was reminding them of that whole thing about the whole how in this state you don't have to wear the muzzle if you've taken that vaccine. And I told her, I have a vaccine. It's called Jesus. And of course, they loved it. And I doubt this person has worn a mask since. I know me from here forward, my use of that mask is going to be extremely, extremely limited, if at all. And I'll bring it just in case they want me to, or otherwise, done. And soon, not one, but both of them are about to be thrown in a bonfire. On Memorial Day, who knows? I'm not going to tell you when I'm going to burn them. No. And I hope they don't come out with this day called Mask Memorial Day, where it's the day that you pause to remember all your masks that you wore for the last year. No. How about instead Mask Burning Day? That sounds more like it, right, Shelley? Mask Memorial Day? No, forget it. A day to remember your mask? No. Oh, no. So, we're a opening up. And the one thing, God's not done with America yet. And I know at times it can seem hopeless, and maybe you watch CNN and MSNBC and the, you know, ABC's a fake news and all that, and so they make it sound all. But I will say America needs Jesus. Absolutely. But I think people are starting to wake up to what's really going on. And you know, miracles have happened when you got Cuomo of New York, Governor Cuomo of New York, deciding that he's getting rid of his mask mandate and opening things up. Even Ohio governor just announced that as of June 2nd, the masks are gone, and the restaurants and everything else get to be open fully. And very good to see. Still waiting on our Governor Whitmer to do that, to do the same thing. For those of you who are cursing the virus, those of us who are, it's working. Just keep praying. Keep believing God. And, of course, we have to believe God that whatever the enemy has planned, it's going to come to naught. Whatever they're planning behind closed doors, it's going to come to naught. Because I'm sure they have things planned. I'm sure. I don't necessarily know all the details by any means, but I'm just sure that they have things planned. Did you know that the plan was to lock everything down permanently? Yes, it was the plan. Now in America, we're getting better, but there's other countries we have to keep on our prayers, like in Canada, less than 3 hours from here, the province of Ontario, Canada, everything is locked down, including children's playgrounds. And on a day like today, when it's in the 70s outside and sunny, good place for them to be is out there on a playground. Can't take them out on the playground because why? They're shut down. Because apparently their prime minister thinks that the virus spreads through all the play equipment. You're much less apt to catch COVID outside than you are inside. Period. And this virus does not like the sunshine. It hates it. You get vitamin D from it, and it keeps it away. And churches are closed. In fact, some pastor a week ago got arrested, a couple weeks ago, actually, I think. Here in America, we have a constitution. Many of these other countries, they don't have that. They don't have a constitution. Here we have one. And Dr. Barclay announced a couple months ago, he's not closing our church down again. He's not. He's doing whatever he can to keep it open. He's not shutting it down again. Rodney Howard Brown has declared multiple times at the stand. That is still going on, by the way. In a couple weeks, it will have been going on a full year. He has declared many a time, this church will never shut down again. My church will never shut down again. My church will never shut down. No, I'm not being a robot. I only said it like three times to this cliff. That's what he said many times. He is not shutting down his church ever again. And the only reason he shut his church down is because of all the threats he got. Within 3 days after he was arrested, they were cleared to meet. They could have met in the sanctuary. No restrictions. No muzzles. But he had to wait for God to clear him to reopen his church. So they started on a field. At the last day of May, May 31st, 2020. Yes, they could have met inside, but God wanted them to make a stand. They're still standing. And so moving along off of that, it's good to see that it is, in fact, warming up outside. 70s and 80s all week. Hopefully next week, too, because I want the water to get warm enough for people to get back to the beaches. Because I don't know about you, but I'm ready to go back to the beach. And some of you might say, oh, Miracle Man, you were in Florida a couple months ago. Yeah, I know. I'm still ready to go back to the beach. Now, there'll be a good amount of people there and riding their boats and what have you. Speaking of nice, warm, sunny weather, so it has been brought to you by your local Dairy Queen, where you can go through your local Dairy Queen and pick up one of their delicious blizzards. Maybe you're feeling a cheesecake blizzard. Maybe you're feeling one of these Oreo blizzards, maybe a cookies and cream one, maybe cotton candy's your thing, maybe your thing's graham cracker blizzard. I regretted getting that blizzard. It wasn't really what I wanted, not the greatest choice. So this was a week ago when I was there and I got it, but wish I'd gotten a different one, but nonetheless, let me see here. Price and participation may vary. Store for details. Tax extra. Couple more quick things. I want to encourage your listeners to go online to riversofmiracles.com to find out information about our book, Rivers of Miracles, the story of my life and all the different miracles that Jesus has done in my life. And you can just let that book be a blessing. We're believing God to sell as many copies of that book as possible. Also, I want to remind you to please consider sowing seed into the Miracle Man Show. If you've been blessed by this program in any way, shape, or form, please consider sowing a seed. And of course, the Lord blesses you as you sow seed. How many of you know that? And this is great ground here. Miracle Man is great ground. You can go online to paypal.com. In the search bar, you type in River Shukla. That is Rivers, R-Y-V-E-R-S, last name Shukla, S-H-U-K-L-A. Again, that is Rivers, R-Y-V-E-R-S, last name is Shukla, S-H-U-K-L-A. Please remember, there is a space between Rivers and Shukla, and also both Rivers and Shukla are capitalized. No, not the whole word. No, just the R and the S. Okay. Yes. All right. So, and also the verse I want to go into you tonight is, give, and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. Amen. We're going to sing a couple songs, and then we're going to get into the word of the Lord. Lord, I want more of you. Holy Spirit, rain down on me. Lord, I need more of you. Living breath of life, come fill me up. We are hungry. We are hungry. We are hungry for more of you. We are thirsty, oh Jesus. We are thirsty for more of you. We are hungry. We are hungry. We are hungry for more of you. We are thirsty, oh Jesus. We are thirsty for more of you. Lord, I want more of you. Holy Spirit, rain down on me. Lord, I need more of you. Living breath of life, come fill me up. We are hungry. We are hungry. We are hungry for more of you. We are thirsty, oh Jesus. We are thirsty for more of you. We are hungry. We are hungry. We are hungry for more of you. We are thirsty, oh Jesus. We are thirsty for more of you. We lift our holy hands up. We want to touch you. We lift our voices higher, higher and higher to you. We lift our holy hands up. We want to touch you. We lift our voices higher, higher and higher to you. We lift our holy hands up. We want to touch you. We lift our voices higher, higher and higher to you. We are hungry. We are hungry. We are hungry for more of you. We are thirsty, oh Jesus. We are thirsty for more of you. We are hungry. We are hungry. We are hungry for more of you. We are thirsty, oh Jesus. We are thirsty for more of you. We are hungry. We are hungry. We are hungry for more of you. We are thirsty, oh Jesus. We are thirsty for more of you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Can't go back to the beginning. Can't control what tomorrow will bring. But I know here in the middle what your word has been promised to me. I'm not enough unless you come. Will you meet me here again? 'Cause all I want is all you want. Will you meet me here again? As I walk through the valley, Let your grace, let your glory appear. Now I know here in the middle what your grace has been promised to me. I'm not enough unless you come. Will you meet me here again? 'Cause all I want is all you are. Will you meet me here again? Oh, I'm not enough unless you come. Will you meet me here again? Oh, is all I want is all you are. Will you meet me here again? Not for a minute was I forsaken. The Lord is in this place. The Lord is in this place. Come, Holy Spirit, dry bones awaken. The Lord is in this place. The Lord is in this place. Not for a minute was I forsaken. The Lord is in this place. The Lord is in this place. Come, Holy Spirit, dry bones awaken. The Lord is in this place. The Lord is in this place. Not enough unless you come. Will you meet me here again? 'Cause all I want is what you are. Will you meet me here again? Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness. You give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. You give life, you are love, you give light to the darkness. You give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness you give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. Thank you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise, pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, for who you are, for what you are to us. I thank you, Lord God, for what you are doing in us, that you're strengthening us, that you are making us what we ought to be. Thank you, Lord God, for this word tonight that we're about to study. Thank you, Lord God, that you are moving on our behalf, that you are pushing back the plans of the wicked, that whatever they have planned behind closed doors, that it will be brought to naught right now in the name of Jesus. And now, Holy, thank you that these listeners tonight, that they will receive whatever it is that they're believing for from you tonight, and that their minds will be receptive tonight of this word, that they'll get from it what you want them to get from it, Lord God. And I thank you for that. Now, Heavenly Father, I thank you. I make my confession over this program. I thank you that sponsors and partners come into this program, that finances come into this program, that increases in listenership come into this program. And most importantly of all, Jesus, I thank you for the huge amount of souls coming into the kingdom of God as a result of this wonderful radio program. In Jesus' matchless name, amen and amen. Let's make our confession, because the Bible says that we can have the fruit of our lips. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what the Word says I have. I can do what the Word says I can do. This Bible is more than a storybook to me. It's more than a religious book to me. And it is more than a history book to me. Tonight, I am a believer. Therefore, I'm a receiver. And I do believe that I will receive absolutely everything that God has for me tonight. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, please, to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 16. Praise God, 1 Samuel chapter 16. And I want to encourage you, whatever I do here tonight, you do, you follow along. I sing, you sing, I clap, you clap, you know, whatever. If I study, you follow along. If I start praying in the Spirit, you pray. Amen. How you get the most out of this program is by when you participate and don't just sit there and spectate. Amen. Amen. Now I'm going to begin reading from chapter 16 of 1 Samuel with verse 1. And the Lord said to Samuel, "How long do you mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem. I have chosen one of his sons to be king." But Samuel said, "How can I go? Saul will hear about it, and he will kill me." The Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint for me the one that I indicate." Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the son trembled when they met him, and they asked, "Do you come in peace?" Samuel replied, "Yes, I come in peace. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord." "Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not consider his appearance or his insight, for I have rejected him." The Lord does not look at the things man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance. The Lord looks at the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Jesse then had Shema pass by. Samuel said, "Nor has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse had 7 of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to him, "The Lord has not chosen this one. these ones. So we asked Jesse, are these all the sons you have? There is still the youngest, Jesse answered, but he is tending the sheep. Samuel said, send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives. So we sent and had him brought in. He was puffy, with a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, arise, anoint him, he is the one. So Samuel took a horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. Samuel then went to Ramah. Verse 14. Now, the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord tormented him. Saul's attendant said to him, see, an evil spirit from God is tormenting you. Let our Lord command his servants here to search for someone who can play the harp. He will play when the evil spirit from God comes upon you, and you will feel better. So Saul said to his attendants, find someone who plays well. Bring him to me. One of the servants answered, I have seen a son of Jesse of Bethlehem who knows how to play the harp. He is a brave man and a warrior. He speaks well and is a fine-looking man, and the Lord is with him. Then Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, send me your son David, who is with the sheep. So Jesse took a donkey, loaded with bread, a skin of wine, a young goat, and sent them for his son David to Saul. David came to Saul and entered his service. Saul liked him very much. David became one of his armor bearers. Then Saul sent word to Jesse, saying, allow David to remain in my service, for I am pleased with him. Whenever the Spirit from God came upon Saul, David would take his harp and would play. Then relief would come to Saul. He would feel better, and the evil spirit would leave him. All right. David and Goliath. Now the Philistines gathered their forces for war. Verse 17, by the way. And assembled at Succoth in Judah. And they pitched camp at the first month between Succoth and Azekah. Saul and the Israelites assembled and camped in the valley of Elah and drew up their battle line to meet the Philistines. The Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites another in the valley between them. A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. He was over 9 feet tall. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he wore a coat of scale armor with bronze weighing 5,000 shekels on his leg. And wore bronze greaves, and a bronze javelin was flung on his back. His spear shaft was just like a weaver's rod. And its iron coins weighed 600 shekels. His shield went ahead of him. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and I kill him, you will become our subjects and you will serve us." Then the Philistine said, "This day I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man. Let us fight each other." On hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and all of the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. Now David was the son of an Ephrathite named Jesse, who was from Bethlehem in Judah. Jesse had 8 sons. And in Saul's time, he was old and well advanced in years. Jesse's 3 oldest sons had followed Saul to the war. The firstborn was Eliab, the second Abinadab, the third Shammah. David was the youngest. The 3 oldest followed Saul, but David went back and forth from Saul to tend his father's sheep at Bethlehem. For 40 days, the Philistines came forward in morning and evening and took the stand. Now Jesse said to his son David, "Take this ephah of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread for your brothers and hurry to their camp. Take along these 10 cheeses to the commander of their unit. See how your brothers are and bring back some assurance from them. They are for Saul and all the men of Israel in the valley of Elah, fighting against the Philistines." Early in the morning, David left the flock with a shepherd, loaded up, and sent out. As Jesse had directed, he reached the camp as the army was going out to its battle position, shouting his war cry. Israel and the Philistines were drawing up their lines, facing each other. David left his things with the keeper of supplies, ran to the battle lines, and greeted his brothers. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance. And David heard it. And when the Israelites saw the man, they all ran from him in great fear. Now the Israelites had been saying, "Do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give him his daughter in marriage, and he will exempt his father's family from taxes in Israel." And David asked the men standing near him, "What will be done for the one who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" They replied to him what they had been saying and told him, "This is what will be done for the man who kills him." When Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men, he burned with anger at him, and he asked, "Why have you come down here? And whom did not leave those dew sheep in the desert? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle. Now what have I done?" said David. "Can't I even speak?" He then turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter. And the men answered him as before. What David said was overheard and reported to Saul. And Saul went with him. David said to Saul, "Do not let anyone lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and will fight him." Saul replied, "You are not able to go out against the Philistines and fight him. You are only a boy. He has been a fighting man from his youth." David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I sent after it, struck it, and I rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and I killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord, who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord will be with you." Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor upon him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fainted on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. "I cannot go in these," he said to Saul, "because I am not used to them." He took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of the shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, he approached the Philistine. Meanwhile, the Philistine, with a shield bearer in front of him, he kept coming closer to David. He looked David over. He saw that he was only a boy. He was puffy and handsome, and he despised him. And he said to David, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David. "Yours gods. Come here," he said, "and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin? I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I will strike you down, and I will cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth. And the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by the sword or spear that the Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. So Philistines moved closer to attack him. David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag, taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sunk into his forehead. He fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. David ran and stood over him. He took hold of the Philistine's sword, drew it from the scabbard. After he killed him, he cut off his head with the sword. When the Philistines saw that their hero was dead, they turned and ran. Then the men of Israel and Judah surged forward with a shout and pursued the Philistines to the entrance of Gath and to the gates of Ekron. Those dead were strewn along the Sherem road to Gath and Ekron. When the Israelites returned from chasing the Philistines, they plundered their camp. David took the Philistine's head, and brought it into Jerusalem. And he put the Philistine's weapons in his own tent. As Saul watched David going out to meet the Philistine, he said to Abner, commander of the army, "Abner, whose son is that, young man?" Abner replied, "As surely as you live, O king, I don't know." The king said, "Find out whose son this young man is." As soon as David returned from killing the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul, with David still holding the Philistine's head. "Whose son is this, young man? Whose son are you, young man?" Saul asked him. David said, "I'm the son of your servant Jesse of Bethlehem." All right. Now, so what you see here is so Saul Saul had previously, when we read the other day, Saul had lied about the Amalekites and got in huge trouble for that. So what we read tonight, first, what we read is David was appointed king. But then in chapter 17, David And by the way, in chapter 17, David is just a lad, just a lad. And he goes up against this Philistine giant who is huge, tall, slender, strong, well-built. Is 10 feet tall. And he thinks he is gung-ho and all that, thinks he just has it all, has that big battle cry, has everything. In fact, Goliath was known as a champion. Now, Saul hears about that David wants to go and fight Goliath. First, Saul says, "Sir, you can't. You're too small. Maybe let someone else do it." David's like, "No. I've fought a lion. I have fought a bear. I've fought a lion. I've fought a bear. I can do this." Saul gives David some of his armor. Gets it on. It's much too big on him. He says, "I can't go on this. This isn't going to work." So he just has a shepherd's bag, five stones, five little stones, goes to Goliath. Goliath is cursing David, cursing the Lord, and instead is calling upon his gods. But David doesn't even use a sword. He puts a stone in a sling, and it just goes round and round, goes through his forehead, and kills Goliath. Goes through Goliath's forehead and kills Goliath. David, the little lad, young lad, killed a giant. He killed a giant. Folks, whatever battle you may face in your life, whatever that battle is, the victory is always greater than the battle, no matter how big that battle is. Whether it's just something kind of more minute, we're like, "Yeah, I could use some prayer. I could use some." Or it's something very severe. The victory is always greater than the battle. Always greater than the battle. Always, always. We had a guest speaker in our church the other night. He talked about giant killers. There's 8 traits. But the big one I want to mention is giant killers always want to win. Giant killers always want to win. David had previously fought a lion. Was trying to attack these sheep. David won over that lion. David went and fought a bear, trying to do the same thing. David also beat the bear, killed that bear. God used him. Then he was faced with the biggest thing yet, Goliath. A lot of the Israelites were sitting there all afraid when they saw Goliath, and they're like, oh, he's so big, what do we do? He's huge. They were afraid. They're sitting there, and they're like, afraid. Goliath. Sitting there, doing his usual defiance, going after David. Saying the things he would say. And David didn't just talk big. He did not just talk and say, you come against me with sword, spear, javelin. I come at you, but I come after you in the name of the Lord Most High. He didn't just talk the talk. David destroyed that giant, destroyed it, and was even holding the head of Goliath when he went to see Saul, because Saul was wondering, who is that young man that killed Goliath? And by the way, when the Philistines saw that their hero was dead, they all ran away. But the Israelites, they shouted, for they had won a great victory. A lot of us face giants. By giants, I mean these major situations that we have to deal with. And I know through the last year with COVID, that was a big thing. I'm talking about things in our personal life, whether it be finances, whether it be something in our body, something with our mind, whatever the thing that thing is. When we fight battles, there's no reason for us to just fight them on our own. Don't try to fight a battle without God on your side. You're going to take on one of those giants. You better make sure you have God on your side. You have better make sure. And put on the armor of God. That belt of truth around your waist. Those boots of peace. That shield of faith. The sword of the Spirit. And like I said, the boots of peace, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the mask of mercy. Oh, no, wait, well, hold on, nope. Let me think here. Armor of God, mask. Nope. No mask. There's the helmet and all those other things, but I did not find a helmet. I mean, a mask. You know, that thing you put on your face. But There's some. I know Tuesday nights we've been doing Miracle Testimony Tuesday lately. But when I come back tomorrow night, when I do my little exhortation and that before we do worship, I want to give you all of the different traits of a giant killer. And discuss them. Because I want you to have these. I'll need to go back and find these. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for this word tonight. Thank you, Lord God, that we are victorious. We are more than conquerors. We are warriors. We are conquerors. We are victorious in you who are our King. Greater are you who lives in us than anyone who lives in the world. And I just thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm so grateful, Lord God, that the victory is always greater than the battle, no matter what we face as we go through our lives. You're always on our side. And nothing is impossible for you, Lord God. Nothing is impossible for you. With you, all things are possible. All things are possible. And I thank you, Lord God, for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, for sports, yesterday the Tigers had a very exciting 9-8 walk-off win over the Cubs. They improved their record. As for the Pistons, they lost again yesterday in their final regular season game. As they finished the regular season with a 20-51 record, and they'll be guaranteed, just about guaranteed, at least one of the top four NBA draft picks. Hopefully they have had, however, four rookies who played very well with Dwayne Casey as the Pistons head coach. Hopefully next year they'll be on to better things, the Pistons will. And hopefully we can get better sports going in Detroit. All right, folks. Until next time, God first, God always. So long, everybody.